Morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be still, be silent." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Lord our God, we are grateful for your presence. We are grateful for your people and this opportunity to come together and worship. Whether we gathered outside by the dock or here in the church, we know your presence is always with us. So thank you for those who are here. Thank you for those who might be online. I pray that your spirit will move each and every one of us to open our hearts and our minds to receive your message this morning. We are grateful for your word, and we pray that you will encourage all of us as we all face storms in our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you ask me, Albert, do you believe that God still does miracles? My answer is absolutely, beyond a shadow of doubt. I believe that God still does miracles today. Many years ago, I watched the birth of my two beautiful children, and to me, that is just one example of a miracle of God for that whole process to end the way it did. Now, if you ask me, do you understand why he does them and why he doesn't always do them, then my answer is no, not at all. I don't know why God does a miracle by healing one person and why he doesn't heal another person. So let's sail, you know, a little further and see where we end up going down this particular waterway today. And whether we are able to get a better understanding of the storms of life and God's ability to do miracles in the midst of our storms. Now, I'm sure you have all felt that you're in the middle of the storms of life. Maybe that's the way, you know, some of you are feeling today. Like all around you, the winds of circumstance are blowing completely out of control. And the truth, of course, is we all have storms, different storms. Maybe your storm is job-related. You've got a job that you just can't stand. And at the same time, there is someone else who's saying, "Man, you're just lucky to have a job because I don't," and that is their storm. Maybe you're fighting to stay alive financially and to keep the business from going down or under. Or maybe you had to go in for some tests and you're waiting for the results, and all of a sudden your life is on hold. What is the doctor going to say? Or it's someone that you love. A family member has gotten bad news from a doctor and it shakes you up, and maybe your marriage is hurting. Maybe you're depressed and you really don't know why. Maybe you have problems with your children. Maybe you're in the tempest of loss and you're grieving the loss of a loved one. because there's so many different storms in life. And so as I continue this message, I want you to keep your storm front and center in your mind. Because my prayer is that God will say something profound to you and your circumstances as we talk about the storms of life. We just read this passage about how Jesus stills a storm. And this body of water was actually the Sea of Galilee, which was some 680 feet below sea level, surrounded by mountains. And because of the terrain and the weather streams in that area, this place was known for being beautiful one moment, and then boom, the next moment a storm could appear, apparently out of nowhere. Similar to the storms blowing in our lives. One moment all is well, and the next moment your life is full of turmoil. Now, if you're like a lot of people, you might be thinking, wow, you know, if I'm in a boat with Jesus, if I'm in a boat with the Son of God, then this storm shouldn't be happening. This storm shouldn't be happening to me, right? But what we know is, just because you are a person of faith, it doesn't mean that you are exempt from the storms of life, does it? The storm doesn't pass the disciples by just because Jesus is in the boat. So as we grapple with the question of why, a question we've all pondered many, many times. Why doesn't God, who is all powerful and for whom nothing is impossible, why doesn't he prevent the storms of life? Well, what if we look at it differently? What if we may be in the storm by God's appointment? You see, God knew before you were born what was going to be happening during this season in your life. Verse 35 says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. So who is it that was speaking to the disciples here? Jesus, right? It was Jesus who said to his disciples, let us go to the other side of the lake. That means the trip was Jesus' idea. God in the flesh, the Son of God. And he certainly knew that a storm was coming. It was Jesus' idea, so we could conclude that the disciples were in the storm not because they were out of the will of God, but they were in the storm because they were in the will of God. They were following Jesus' direction. So you may be in a storm right now and you're saying, I wish I wasn't here. I just wish this wasn't happening to me. God knew you were going to be here. You're in the storm by his appointment. And you say, why? And that's tough to answer. Because God is God and we are not, and his ways are not our ways. Or you might say, well, where did the storm come from then? A lot of storms come from bad decisions. We make a simple decision or a stupid decision and boom, we've got some tragic consequences to deal with. Another possibility is that you might be experiencing a storm from the enemy. Not the enemy, but the enemy. I mean, evil is real. And some serve evil purposes, right? And maybe someone is intentionally trying to hurt you or damage your reputation or your business. Or malicious and immoral systems and structures are taking advantage of you. Or maybe you're experiencing storms simply because you live in a broken world, and so do I. A world that has been marred by sin. And Jesus is the one who said, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. He says it's a broken world. So be prepared for the fact that you will have trouble in this world. But take heart, he said, I have conquered the world. I mean, we don't like storms, do we? We prefer peace. We prefer quiet. And right now, you might be someplace you wish you weren't. God knew you were going to be in a storm. And God may be taking you to a place that He really wants you to go according to His purposes. And God is a good enough God to bring about good in all things to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so Jesus said, let's go across to the other side. Jesus said that full knowing that there would be a storm. And then it says, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. And then it says in verse 38, but he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on the cushion. Wait. Jesus was in the stern and what? What was it? He was asleep. He wasn't even waking up. The disciples, they were freaking out. He wasn't. So think about this. Do you realize that God never calls an emergency meeting? You know, quick, get me the other members of the Trinity. Get Jesus in here and the Holy Spirit. We didn't see this one coming. What are we going to do? I don't know how to handle this. No, God never panics. In the middle of the storm, think about this. Though unseen, where was Jesus? He was there. He was in the stern. And so the second thought that I have for you today is this. You may be in a severe storm, but you're in the storm with His presence. Though unseen, I want you to realize that Jesus is with you. The Son of the living God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, is with you. And you can be encouraged by that. You can find hope in that. You can find peace in that. Jesus is with you and will give you strength, and He will protect you because you're in the storm with His presence. Maybe not all of you know the Bible, you know, that well, but I'm sure you all know this verse. King David in the Old Testament said this in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Well, for today's purposes, we can say, even though I sail into the fiercest of storms, I will not be afraid, for you, God, are with me. He said, for you are with me. God is with you. He's with you in the storms of life. In Hebrews 13:5, God says to you, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So you're in the storm. You are there by His appointment, but you are there with His presence. He's with you in the storm. And then one more thought. You're also in the storm for His purposes. You're there for His purposes. Why? Because God is going to do something in you that He couldn't do any other way. Think of the disciples for a moment. They were about to face one of their greatest fears. What was that fear? We don't want to die. Verse 38 says, the disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Don't you care that we're about to drown? We don't want to die." So think about this. Think about the journey through the disciples' lives. What happened? In a few moments, they are going to see the power of Jesus. Later on, they get to see the character of Jesus. Later on, they get to experience the death of Jesus. They get to see Him after He was resurrected from the dead. And through all this, God did so much in them that the very guys who were horrified to die here at this moment, 10 of them were willing to die later, willing to die for the cause of Christ. Not only would they face their greatest fear, but they would surrender willingly to death, saying, "I would never deny the one who gave it all for me." The thing that had the biggest stronghold on them, their fear of death, they became free of, because God did more than just a miracle in calming a storm. He did a miracle in their hearts. Now maybe you can relate to what the disciples were saying. "Teacher, don't you even care if we drown?" And you say, "SOS, I'm in trouble and you're not helping, God." Maybe there are those of you who have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and you're thinking to yourself, "Okay, God, how hard would it be? You've done some pretty big things. You have done some amazing miracles. All I'm asking for is this, and you won't even do this? Where are you? Are you really there? Are you really able? And if you're really able, why don't you? If you could and you don't, then are you good? Do you still love me? Are you silent? Are you just a crutch that I've made up? God, if you could, why don't you?" Someone said it this way: in storms, we want God to do a removing job, but He wants to do an improving job. We want Him to remove, you know, all the storms of life. Maybe He wants to improve something in us that He couldn't do any other way. And so here's the miracle. Verses 39 and 40. The disciples are like, "Don't you care? We are falling apart." And waking up, He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent. be still. Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. The wind stopped. Everything was calm. The sea became as smooth as glass. You see, there are those of you that God is going to speak to your storm. And He is going to heal you. And He is going to heal your marriage. And He's going to miraculously provide for you financially. And He's going to answer your prayer. And He's going to say to your storm, be still. Others of you, your storm will continue to rage on. And He will say to your heart, be still. Be dead calm. And it will. And both will be miracles. Maybe the one where you have peace while all hell is breaking loose. That might be a more impressive one. The miracle to be still and know that He is God. Where you can truly say, God, no matter what happens, I will love You. I will worship You. I will praise You. I will trust You. He says, peace, be still. And in this case, the wind died down and it was completely calm. And He said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Let me end with a story about William Sangster. He was a pastor and he told the story from his childhood. Something that really impacted him. He and some other guys went on vacation and they all ran out of money. So they all sent a telegram. Everybody know what a telegram is? For those who don't, it's like a real slow text message on paper. But in any case, so they sent a telegram to their dad saying, Dad, give us more money. Ever been there? So William's dad, who was also a minister, deeply loved his son. But he agonized, should I bail him out again or should I let him learn from his mistake? Anyone ever been there? And then the father lovingly decided not to help his son. Even though he had the power to do so. And all of the other boys got help from their fathers, and William is sitting there and didn't get any help from his father, and all the other boys said, well, obviously your dad doesn't love you, and he could help you, and he didn't, and your dad doesn't care, and you know what? Your dad is not a good father, okay? And William said, no. You don't understand. I know the heart of my father. I know his character. And I know that he's a good father. And I know that he loves me. I know that. And that he has my best interest at heart. So I will wait until I get home and he will explain to me his reasons face to face. And maybe you're in a storm right now, and if not, it is highly likely that you are going to face a storm one day. And one miracle will get you out of it. And God might do it. Or God might not. And if He doesn't, those voices might say to you, God is not a good God. If he could do it, he would. If he can and could and doesn't, he doesn't love you. Maybe he can't. Maybe he's not good. Maybe he's not there at all. And you will say, no, no, you don't understand. I know the heart and the character of my Father in heaven. And he is good. And he has my best interest at heart. And I will love him. And I will worship him. And I will praise him. And I will trust him. And I believe in him. And if he doesn't do what I think he should or could, I will wait until I get home. And then my Heavenly Father will explain it to me face to face. By his appointment, with his presence, and for his purposes. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, the why question is one of the most difficult questions we have. It's one of the most difficult questions to answer, and to be completely honest, we don't always have the answer. We rarely have the answer. And we know you are good. We know you can do miracles, and thank you for your word, and thank you that you love us in spite of all that is happening or might be happening to us. Thank you for your presence in the midst of our storms. And we pray that your Spirit will give us the calm and the peace when the result or the answer is not necessarily what we anticipate or want it to be. I pray that our prayers will be answered. I pray that it will be answered in the way you see fit. And if anybody here today is doubting or struggling or finding it difficult to have peace, I pray that you will do that miracle in their lives, in their hearts, and reassure them again of your presence and your love and your help in the midst of all their storms. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.